The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Russo is still scrambling as Eric Johnson scores! Eric Johnson changed the angle and slipped one through along the ice from long range. Here's Nazem Kadri. Kadri shoots, scores! Nazem Kadri silences the crowd in St. Louis. Here's another chance. Landeskog for Tate. He scores! Byron McGinn. Kadri scores! It won't be a power play goal, but it will be a 4-1 lead on the second of the game for Nazem Kadri. Checking was Nichushkin. Lost it. Nazem Kadri scores! It's a hat trick for Kadri. Ahead for Rantanen. Rantanen will put it into the net and make it 6-3 Colorado.
Turn the lights off. Carry me on.
Try to create a storm of our own. We're going to try to create a storm of our own.
Well, hell. JB gets serious like that against the...
I am the storm.
I am the storm. I am the one who knocks.
We're going to try to create a storm of our own.
Here's the longer part of that clip, because he was asked, you know, if you're going to have to...
Come home.
You want to sing?
I know.
What'd you say? They only play this song when?
Once they feel like the game's in hand. So it's a little bit of a dangerous game to play.
You know,
I don't know who makes that call. I don't know who's the one that is, that's pretty jinxy cad, right? How many goals do you have to be up in order to play the song? And Bednar makes the call. He's radioing it in.
Maybe he makes the call.
We're trying to create a storm of our own.
What do you think? He rubs like his side of his nose. Play Blink-182 here.
Right.
Hey, by the way, how are we doing behind the scenes of getting Blink-182 to show up for an Avs game?
Oh, my gosh. That
How's
would
that
be
going?
So epic. You know, you're not afraid of going jinx-a-cat. So, I mean, you really walked that line. And matter of fact, you've crossed the line many, many times. But you might as well save it for the finals, right?
Well, all I have to say is this. Almost over. Just let it go to the end here.
Oh, all the way.
That's almost over.
Did we make it all the way to the end of the song?
Let go.
We're going to try to create a storm of our own.
There you go.
They do have a lot of songs that are like 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
It's perfect. We want to thank our listeners in Arvada for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Way to go, Arvada. Here is the longer quote, though, about, you know, weathering the storm.
We're going to try to create a storm of our own, you know. I think it's about our focus, our preparation, and then just going out and executing again. Like, we like what we're doing here in the last few games. There's some areas of our game that have gotten much better as the series have gone on. And we got to continue to do it. You know, break the game down, 5-minute increments, stay focused, keep paying attention to the process that makes us successful.
By the way, Raj, I want a new T-shirt in Mission 16W. And I just wanted to say a boot.
Well, dude, I mean, let's not get greedy here. We've already created one new T-shirt today, and it's definitely going to be Mount Up.
No, well, is it going to be Let's Ride, ... Mount Up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or does it say Let's Ride on one side and Mount Up on the other side?
I'm not sure everybody would pick that up. Yeah, I think the ... is a key part here. Yeah. So you recognize it's a call and action, right?
Call and respond?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
Now I want a boot. I just want A-B-O-O-O-T.
So,
three O's. A boot.
Why exactly does call and action not work? Is that not like the same thing?
It's not. I don't know. It's not what it's called, but, you know, you can make up stuff your own.
Well, I mean, I'm calling you.
And respond.
With an action. Yeah.
Tyler, what do you want me to tell you?
Well, I just want you to respond with action.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, you can make stuff up on your own.
Somebody on the text line said, mountain up. That's too long. I mean, one syllable.
Right. You got it. Don't. You figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A boot.
Ba-da-bum-bum-bum. Ba-da-dump. No, you don't need that. Ba-da-bum-bum-bum. That's it.
Don't tell that to Vanilla Ice.
Bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum.
Bum-bum.
I think I found a guy who can help us with the mount up.
What do you mean, help us with the mount up? Oh, here we go.
Mount up.
I don't know what it took so long.
Clear black night,
yeah.
A clear white.
I wish I knew the words.
He was on the streets trying to consume some search for the E so I could get some phones rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just I'm definitely rocking this on the ride home tonight.
On a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to talk.
Happy Mother's Day to the police girl.
I mean,
the sweetest thing.
On 2-1 and Louis,
so what's up? Hey, Mac, we're talking about sports traditions here, right? We're talking about Bleak 182. Can't you picture the whole stadium coming out to Warren G? Huh? Everybody vibing?
Unlimited.
Sounds good to me. Let's go.
I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they take it.
Why is Richie pointing at us? He's in the window just pointing.
I looked at the brother, said, damn,
I'll point at you. Don't point at me. I'll point at you.
Tyler, you are going so squirrel today. Are you all right?
I'll point at you.
What's going on with you today?
They start to clown. I'm vibing.
What were they serving in the Dixie cups in that fifth grade continuation today?
You want to taste those?
I don't know if I do.
Pure H2O, baby.
How about that picture of Aaron Judge with a water bottle all in his hands?
You know, I'm calling BS on that photo.
That's not a real water bottle.
I mean, I'm a 6'8" dude. I'm currently holding a real water bottle.
Yeah, it looks silly in your hands too.
Not like his though. I mean, that thing looked like that was like a mini water bottle.
More from Jared Bednar today. So, does he want to close things out tonight?
I mean, I want to win tonight and close this round out, but you're able to do that. It only puts us halfway to our goal.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Halfway to our goal.
Like it.
Like, this isn't the end.
Our goal isn't to beat the Blues.
Mm-mm.
That's not what we're worried about
halfway
right now.
Halfway to our goal. Halfway. Come on, Avs fans. How do you not love that?
I do. So if you're halfway of 16, that'd be eight left.
You are killing it today.
Yeah.
Juxtapose that with Michael Malone saying, at least we didn't get swept. You know, I look back on that, and that was... Listen, he was just being honest, so I don't want to rip a guy for just being honest, because he was. But think about that for a second.
Oh, I know. D-Mac, I told you when he said that. Hey, there's some things that you say to the wife when it's 12 o'clock at night and you're laying in bed, like, hey, you still awake over there?
Yeah.
Hey, are you awake, right?
I'm sorry, yeah. Okay.
I'm so relieved we didn't get swept. I couldn't tell anybody that. I needed to tell you. I had to get that off my chest. I needed to say it. I can't say that publicly, but right. I'm going to say it to you.
Right. Like, Dallas avoided a sweep last night. Does anybody think they're actually going to beat Golden State? Or do you think Golden State's going to win by, like, 30 the next time they play?
James Berlot thought they were. Yeah.
Thought what?
He thought that Dallas was going to embarrass the Nuggets for the way the Nuggets played against the Warriors.
We're only halfway to our goal. I love it. That's why... Listen, I think they're going to win, and I think they're going to win relatively easily tonight. But I'll tell you this, Tyler. If they don't win, okay, they don't win, Avs fans, don't freak out.
No.
Because they are not counting on winning every single game, although they are 7-1 in the playoffs. They're not counting on it, and they know they're in for a long haul, so they don't see it as some sort of... And they do not view, I'm telling you, they do not view just winning the second round as some sort of like incredible accomplishment. That's not weighing on their minds. They're not thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Not anymore.
No?
I mean, is anybody thinking about that right now? I'm not thinking about that. That was hovering over my mind for the first two games of the series. And then it got to the point where you just realized, hey, the Avalanche are doing their deal. And they're significantly better than their opponents. I'm not worried about getting past the second round. Heck no.
I always thought this year you had to get to the Western Conference Finals kind of no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I felt, well, we'll see how it goes. I haven't been, you need to win the Stanley Cup or the season's a disappointment. Some people are. And I understand that now based on how good the team is. But I just think at this level, I'm watching the Edmonton-Calgary series. I got some great players over there. And certainly we're seeing what Tampa's doing. I don't know, Tyler. Once you get to the final four teams in your, you know, league, whatever you're doing, whatever happens after that certainly would be disappointing, but it wouldn't be a disappointment in terms of a season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say there's a separation between a disappointing season, and I do think it would be disappointing if they did win the Stanley Cup. Flat out.
Really?
That would be disappointing.
To win the whole...
But there's a huge difference between disappointing and a failure.
Correct.
And a lot of people associate disappointing with a failure. No, of course that's not a failure of a season. Hey, it's hard to go all the way. So, no, I wouldn't call it a failure. But I would be disappointed, sure.
I hear a couple other things from this morning. On Mikko Rantanen, it has been remarkable. Now, Rantanen has a ton of assists. But aside from the empty netter, no other goals. And Makar and MacKinnon have been kind of crazily silent in this series, too. Imagine if they start going off.
It'll help. I mean, they had a big night, right? That line.
So just to be clear, he's talking about the empty netter. Does it help? Get that little tap in empty netter. Does that help? Does that help Mikko?
It'll help. I mean, they had a big night, right? That line, I mean, one was a broken line, but they had four goals, you know, so pretty good night from them. You know, I liked this game last night. Huge improvement from what we've seen over the last couple. Hanging on the pucks, you see some flashes of his skill with, you know, under pressure. I thought he had a good night, managed the puck well, helped Naz a lot.
That's a surprising answer to me, actually. I would not think that would be helpful. I mean, hey, making a layup, does that really help you feel like you're out of the rut? Do you feel like you're no longer in a slump by making the layup, or do you need to hit the three-pointer? I think in order to get the real confidence, you have to hit the three-pointer. You got to make an amazing play out there. I wouldn't think that making an empty net goal would do anything for that, but it's not a, like, this isn't a confidence thing.
It might be.
You think so?
Maybe. I know that's why they put Burakovsky on the first line this year. I know that's why they put the choo-choo train, Natushkin, up there. I know they did that. They talked about it.
Well, I guess...
confidence is, you
well,
know,
I mean, hearing the way you said that, I'm like, okay, well, let's think about it for a second. And then I think, well, all right, Jared Bednar just said, yeah, it would be helpful.
No.
Would that be helpful for Kadri right now to make a layup? No, he doesn't need that.
He doesn't need anything now.
No, of course not. But my point is, making an empty net shot, that's not going to do anything to overcome anything. Unless, I guess maybe it is a confidence thing.
I know, oh gosh, I can just use this as a baseball thing. Because I've been in my amazing baseball career, certain slumps. I was a starting player my sophomore year in high school. Varsity baseball. Showing off here a little bit. Dude, I went 0-for-19. To start my like varsity baseball career. My first hit against Rockport was just this little blooper.
That is so shocking to me.
What part?
That you went 0-for-19 to start it?
Yeah. Which is weird because I played three games as a freshman and I had two hits. And so I actually had hits as a varsity player. But just to start off when I was like the starter when there was more pressure on, stunk. Got this like banjo little hit. My entire team gave me a standing ovation, which was embarrassing.
Oh, that doesn't feel good, does it?
No, it was embarrassing. Guess what I did in my next at bat?
Homer.
No, but I got base hits. I got another hit.
Struck out.
No. And then I did fine the rest of the way, you know, throughout my little baseball career. But the confidence of just doing something, even if it's like kind of, I think, you know what? I think it does mean something. I think you're even if the guys can goof around with you about it, right? Like, you know, it's just something. I don't even know how to equate it in football.
I'm still surprised by the answer. It wouldn't do anything for me as a professional. Maybe as a younger kid, making the layup, that would do something for me. As a professional, you're not taking any pride in that. That doesn't do anything for you.
See, you weren't here for Super Bowl 48, and that's lucky you, to be quite honest with you. Where were you, in Africa, right?
I was, in the most literal sense. I was in Uganda.
Right. When Super Bowl 50 rolled around, Super Bowl 48, oh my God. Who doesn't have scars and bad memories from Super Bowl 48? It was interesting. First play of the game, Super Bowl 50. Do you remember what the first play of the game was?
It was a pass to Owen Daniels.
There you go.
Yeah, so, I don't remember a lot, but I do remember that.
And to me, that was, I thought that was important. I thought that was a moment of like, nope, we're not going to be afraid of this game. We're not going to worry about Super Bowl 48, Peyton. Here we go. Let's make a play. And I don't know what went into that decision. So you could tell all of us, you know, what the thought was, is if the first plays were scripted. I don't know what.
Oh, yeah. The first play was definitely scripted. The first 15 were scripted. You don't always stay on schedule, but the first play is always on schedule. You know, OD was.
So why that play?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. What I was about to say is that Owen Daniels, he was low-key a whoopee for Peyton Manning that year. Mm-hmm. Owen didn't have a statistically amazing season that year, but he had a few big moments in the playoffs. He had that big touchdown. That was the Patriots, right? Oh, gosh, what was
that? Did he have two touchdowns in that game?
Yes, he did. He did. So he had those moments, and I think it was just it was a confidence thing. It's you always want to just get the drive started. So in two-minute drills, do you know what the first play is for the majority of teams? Maybe not like specifically what the first play is, but if you generalized, what are you trying to accomplish with your first play in a two-minute drill?
Boy, you just want to move the sticks. Something that is no fuss, no muss, just something pretty easy, I would guess.
Yes, not even necessarily move the sticks, but you want to stay on schedule. So just get it going. Get out there, get 3 or 4 yards, and make sure that you're on schedule.
Gotcha.
Now, and then a lot of times, like at the end of the half, maybe it's not a two-minute drill like we're trying to score, but you call a draw. And if the draw doesn't work, well, you just kind of shut it down and you go into halftime. But if the draw does pick up 8 or 9 yards, maybe it picks up 15 or 20 yards, now we're going, right? And for the first play of the game, there's definitely a rhythm to that, and you just want to, everybody wants to feel good, and you do go to the guys that you rely on.
I bet you the Stars come out tonight for the Avs.
How do you do that in hockey?
You can adjust the lines, and you can put guys who are struggling on better lines to just build the confidence up. I mean, that is what happened during the regular season this year. That is literally what happened. And the one guy they really specifically did it for was Burakovsky, and look where he is now, being a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were just, you know, there's certain things you try to work on, and at the end of the day, you know, that's done now. I don't know if there's much you can do really seriously right now. You just got to perform. But I bet you the Stars come out tonight. I bet you the big guns for the Avs get on the board and produce and find that flow. I bet the time is on them to do it. So I bet it does happen.
Well, they've been going, gosh, how many games has it been really without the superstars? I know we've had a couple moments where a couple key contributors have had big goals, big moments. But for the majority, it's been 5 or 6 games where you've been relying on non-traditional guys to carry you through. And it is about time for the superstars to step up and just take over the game. Wouldn't it be great if in the first period you scored 3 goals, you didn't have to wait until into the second or into the third?
It'd be
just
great.
Just take control.
We've seen it. We've seen McKinnon and McCarr, for example, in the Predator series just be the best of the best. No doubt about it. Let's have it again tonight. Okay, Craig Berube, y'all, St. Louis Blues, with the deft touch of addressing things, you know, days after they happen. So I don't know if this does the trick, but this was Craig Berube before any questions were even asked today.
Just before any questions, I just want to comment on my no comment the other day. I'm not on social media. I was aware of a threat made to Nazem, not the racist stuff. and no way is it acceptable by the St. Louis Blues or anybody else for him to have to go through that. Being a Native American myself, I've heard it all. I've been around it. It's not a good thing. And so I just wanted to get that out there that, you know, there's no room for it anywhere.
So he's now had 2 embarrassing responses. 2. The first one was no comment. That was an embarrassing response for the entire organization. That would be embarrassing for me as a fan. In that opening statement, they did exactly what I thought they were going to do. You asked me yesterday if I thought they would make a statement, and I said yes. I think the very first thing you do is you come out with a pre-planned statement. You don't take any questions. You make a statement in regards to the Kadri stuff, and maybe even apologize, but you absolutely make a statement. That was pathetic. If that was pre-orchestrated and that's what you came up with.
That's what he came up with.
You came up with, well, I was aware of threats. Oh, okay, so that's excusable. I didn't feel like I needed to comment on anything because all I knew about were threats. I don't believe you, number one. I believe that your PR staff informed you about the racist allegations and all the stuff that was going on. And I don't believe you about that. But number two, even if you were only aware of the threats, that is not an excuse for a no comment. So to follow that up with a statement like that, that you didn't, did you hear compassion in that? Did you hear any sort of sympathy? I didn't.
I heard an awkward statement from a guy who sounds like he's from the Stone Age, but you know, I'm willing to have a certain level of grace with everything, and okay, but I'm just rolling my eyes at the whole thing, you know, and it's amazing that the organization itself wasn't able to handle it any better than they did, and today was the day, and you know, I look at all the St. Louis media, and they just sit there, like, okay. Like, nobody's challenging him. Nobody's asking anything about him. Nobody was like...
Equally as pathetic.
I know. So yeah. I'm just like, all right. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, I can't wait to just move on to the next, the adventure of Alberta, whether it's Edmonton or Calgary.
Were there any follow-ups on it?
No, it's just nothing. Yeah, if that's the way they want to handle it in St. Louis, that's their coach, that's their city, that's their team, that's who represents them. If that's what they're just, you know, into, then I don't know what to say. I know that wouldn't fly here in Colorado. I know it for a fact.
No.
It would never, ever happen like that for a million reasons. You would have a more aware coach, you would have a more aware PR staff, and you would have a more diligent media, by the way. So that's St. Louis. What can I tell you?
And you'd have a more demanding fan base that would demand accountability.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to talk about why this is the best city to live in. I mean, the reasons are pretty obvious if you just look out your window most of the time. But it's not a perfect place. No place is. Holy cow, we are not St. Louis. That is for sure. And we cannot wait to just finish it off. And let's get up to... Calgary or Edmonton, whatever's next, because as Jared Bednar said, we're only halfway done after you beat the Blues, and hopefully that happens tonight.
Mount up.
The what? Well, hold on. Let's ride.
No. I mean, if you don't give me the call, I could still respond.
Just get the response?
I'll respond however I want.
When you say mount up, do I have to respond with let's ride?
Nope. It's too late at that point.
We're just
now,
going
now,
mount
now
up.
Now you're a little embarrassed that you didn't realize that you should have said it.
Mount up. Now see, KJ's being awkward there.
Yeah.
So you're just going to throw in mount ups?
Well, that's my thing now.
I got it. You're just going to... So when you throw in a mount up, really there doesn't have to be any response whatsoever. It's like, that's the sentence.
It's better.
That's the
it's
end.
It's better if my leader calls me to it. Yeah, it's better. But I could still say mount up whenever I want.
Right, let me try again then. I get it now. Fans, what we're going to see at Ball Arena is just the beginning or halfway point of the entire journey.
Mount up.
Water coolers next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
My back! Oh, my back!
Rockies lost, by the way, 10-5. It was 7-7 going into the last couple innings, and they gave up 10 runs, Tyler, against the worst scoring team in Major League Baseball, the Pirates.
That's not ideal.
Chris Bryant's now going to be on the 10-day injury list. This is from sleeping on a lousy bed in Detroit, apparently. Okay. Is he soft, or is he hurt?
Well, I'm absolutely concerned that Chris Bryant feels like it's about to be the next Juwan James situation. It feels like this is a guy that just got highly paid, that is not overly motivated. And, you know, the fact that he even signed with the Rockies, part of me feels like, how motivated were you ever? Why did you sign with the Rockies? Well, I guess they gave you the most money. Okay, that explains a lot, but you know, the competitive nature of you, why are you signing with the Rockies? So I am concerned with it. You know, I do try to be careful on calling somebody soft. You never know what's going on in their body. But I know this, D-Mac. I know I had one game where I was getting stretched by a trainer pregame. I'm in the locker room, totally tossed out my back, 100%. I skipped warm-ups. I stayed in the training room with the trainers. They worked on me for an hour. I got shot up with a bunch of stuff. It got me to the point where I could play football. It was miserable, but I played football. You can't play baseball with a little bit of a soft, with a little bit of a tight back.
You want to call him soft.
I do.
You want to call him soft.
I want to, but I'm trying to be respectful.
And you brought up the Juwan James of baseball, so you're trying to be sympathetic.
Well, they said there's no disc issue. There's nothing that needs surgery. It's like a mysterious injury.
Yeah, you don't want to call guys soft, though.
It's a four-letter word.
Oh, I hate you.
The NFL...
I don't hate you. That's strong.
No?
Oh, I hate you.
Do the NFL owners... Hey, that is a strong word. That's another four-letter word. How do they feel about Stan Kroenke in light of the fact they have to give up $7.5 million to settle out the Kroenke's move from St. Louis to Los Angeles?
Oh, they hate him. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Every organization is having to pay $7.5 million to help settle the lawsuit from St. Louis for Kroenke. And what happened? That was one of the more questionable things that have ever happened. He bought that land out there in Los Angeles, and he said, nope, not that. I didn't buy that because I want to move the team.
I can give you the
other
side.
Absolutely lied about it.
I'll give you the other
side. Okay, go ahead.
The value of having that stadium in Los Angeles in a revenue-sharing organization like the NFL is such, at the end of the day, all the owners will make that up and handsomely more as time goes on.
Okay.
Small price to pay for having that stadium and being in that market.
Yeah, as an owner, cool. That's awesome. I would have rather you done it in a way that I didn't have to pay $7.5 million out of my pocketbook. I was not involved with that. I'm making a lot of money.
You're going to get it back in 4 years.
I'm not really worried about what revenue sharing I'm getting from other teams. Now, Daniel Snyder, don't steal from me. I might force you out of the league if you steal from me. And I might not like you if you make me pay $7.5 million. Those guys, they're not worried about the revenue sharing. They will feel the temporary pain of it and be like, hey, man, we're all suffering because you didn't do it the right way.
My guess
is... It's not about moving, D-Mac. You know that, right?
The NFL owners are... I know, it's all about settling thing with St. Louis.
It's the way that you did it. Yeah.
By the way, when I was in St. Louis, well, the conversation of if an NFL team's ever going to come back there came up. And the logical answer is no. You've got Kansas City. The Chiefs are relatively right there. I mean, even Dallas isn't necessarily that far away. Tennessee isn't that far away. It's not like Colorado and nothing else in the Rocky Mountain region. You do have other teams that are close to St. Louis.
You're probably right, but the NFL, they've been trying to flirt with this small market idea for a while. When the Chargers were playing in the soccer stadium out there, that was the big storyline. We're testing what this small stadium feels like. See if it might work in Nebraska. See if it might work in a smaller market. They have been trying to flirt with it.
You think there'll ever be an NFL team back in St. Louis? Like Baltimore, like Cleveland, like other places teams came back to?
I would wager no.
I would wager no as well. Sorry, St. Louis. $5, the NFL's launching a paid subscription service, NFL Plus. $5 a month, but you'll only have access to games that are being broadcast on local TV. However, you can see that on whatever device that you want and that sort of thing. Yeah, you like that sort of concept? $5? See your game?
Well, it's only halfway, so no, I don't like it. They should get rid of Sunday Ticket. Don't isolate that to one provider. Hey, you take control of your content. You sell that as your own package. Yeah, just, hey, NFL, you can control your own product. You could have an app. You could have a network if you want to. But yeah, stream all the games. Create a product that we can see all of them. But this doesn't give me an advantage because you can only watch the games that are in your market. So it's only the games that you could be watching on TV. That doesn't provide any extra value to me. You know what we all have?
Convenient.
No, you know what we all have? If you have a cable package, a satellite package, package.
Yeah.
You've got an app that you can watch all that on that app already. So unless you're working with bunny ears and you don't have cable or satellite, it doesn't do anything.
I don't know. I think it's sneaky good. I know what you're saying because there's already ways to stream games. There are. There's multiple ways.
Legal ways.
I know. But I just think the future of sports broadcasting, period, is just paying for things on demand and in small ways, too.
Totally agree. All I'm saying is don't do it halfway. Get rid of Sunday Ticket on DirecTV and provide it as that's an option for everybody in any market.
Well, if they're doing NFL Plus and this is going to be the centerpiece, I would think it's likely more things come with that eventually. But the centerpiece would be $5 for your game. So you can go, you know, Bed Bath and Beyond. Now you do have time for Bed Bath and Beyond.
But I can already do that on my Xfinity app.
Some people can, but what if you don't have Xfinity? And
okay, if you're working with bunny ears, then you're right. You can't do that.
All right, Scrappy Will Peterson joins us in studio to talk about the game tonight. Strong comments at DenverFan.com about Craig Berube. Stick around for that next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Man.
Just before any questions, I just want to comment on my no comment the other day. I'm not on social media. I was aware of a threat made to Nazem. Not the racist stuff, and
that's better.
No way is it acceptable by the St. Louis Blues or anybody else for him to have to go through that. Being a Native American myself, I've heard it all. I've been around it. It's not a good thing, and so I just wanted to get that out there that there's no room for it anywhere.
All right, to discuss further and wrote all about it at DenverFan.com. Our very own Scrappy Will Peterson. Love it. I was on with Scrappy Will and Rachel today on a coffee break. And, man, Will was just going on and on and on. Scrappy can be kind of angry about some things sometimes. But you know how to pronounce all the names. I got to give you that, man. Because when you're breaking down assistants that don't work for the Nuggets anymore, and you can...
Nichushkin or Nikushkin?
Well, it's like that.
You're talking about like Mike Inouye and Jordy Fernandez and Arturis Karnišovas.
One right there. Yeah,
nice little flex right there.
That was a good flex.
My point was the Nuggets now have three executives in the last 10 years running three different NBA teams. Masai's running the Raptors, Arturis is running the Bulls, and Tim Connelly is running the Timberwolves. Your stepping stone, Denver Nuggets.
No, but you also wanted to point out that you think Nathan MacKinnon has to artfully dodge laser tag kids in order to get to work over at Family Sports.
I think my example was little Billy's using the claw machine going for a stuffed animal. Yeah, and the best player in the world is, spinning him around him to get to practice.
Right. None of that's actually true, but it's a fun little yarn to tell. So
they do practice in an arcade.
They do.
That's fairly true. That's fairly true.
All right, real quick on that. It's a private entrance, a private locker room, and when they are on the ice, nobody's...
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm being true.
Are you, like, defending it? Like it's a good setup?
If they want to go out to the arcade afterwards, it's convenient. Let's not get distracted, though, because you're...
laser tag after practice. That is fun.
If you want to do it, it's there for you.
Yeah.
DenverFan.com, Berube's comments. What's your take?
I mean, I thought Berube's comments were a bit confusing. You know, he says he's not on social media... but did know about a threat, but didn't know it was racist. So is a threat okay as long as it's not racist?
Yeah, like, of course not.
But that was odd. That's what he was getting at. The rest of what he said should have been said on Monday when you asked him about it, D-Mac. It would have been easy to help extinguish that fire then, and instead he let it keep burning and maybe even dump some gasoline on it.
Yeah.
So that's where better late than never today, but the fact he had to be prompted to do this. Rather than doing it on his own and just knowing it was the right thing to do, that's a little concerning as well.
Let me say something else. Like, we were looking around for, well, who else is covering this? Who else is talking about this? That auto we got was actually from the St. Louis Blues. They posted it. So this was their way. Of course, they didn't post the original. But this was their way of sort of making their statement. Too little, too late? Or does this kind of... wrap that up.
No, of course it's too little too late. This happened on Sunday afternoon. Nazem Kadri had to have a police escort into the arena in game four.
That was amazing.
And the Blues were silent. Their front office was silent. Their head coach was silent. Their public relations staff, silent. Anyone could have released any sort of statement condoning this as abhorrent and ridiculous and whatever, and they didn't. And then Berube today, he's reading like an index card. Didn't that feel like the most canned thing of all time,
of
and, he still messed it up?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's all that you had. That was the pre-produced statement. That was premeditated. That's what you came up with. The whole thing is embarrassing, and it all was just really, really unfortunate. That was a dark cloud, but there was the positive side of it. What Kadri was able to do, that was one of the most epic performances of all time. If you consider everything that was going on, a playoff game, all of it, it was amazing. So I did feel a lot of positivity coming back, certainly for the Avalanche, certainly for our fan base. And I thought you had another interesting article on DenverFan.com that was about, you know, at Ball Arena tonight. How are the fans going to handle it? Are they going to be booing Perron? Are they going to be booing the Blues all night long? Or what are they going to be doing on that? Why don't you set up your take on that?
Yeah, of course the Avalanche fans are going to be behind Kadri tonight, no doubt. But I said, you know, bring a sign of support. Cheer him every time he touches the puck as opposed to just booing Perron. If you're in the tippy top of the arena, start a Kadri chant and make him feel love, sort of just like he felt like he was hated by some people in St. Louis,
yeah.
Right? Reverse the script on them. And if you want to boo Perron, that's fine. But you know what's going to make Perron feel a lot worse? Running up the score, 6-1, 7-1, and sending him back to Missouri to go play golf. That's going to get under his skin a lot more, just like Kadri did in Game 4 with the hat trick, than booing him. He's not going to be
aware of that. It's the ultimate flex when you don't acknowledge your enemy. When you don't acknowledge him. That is the ultimate flex. Here's one for you. Here's one that would be awesome. What about right before the puck drops? If everybody in the stands, toss your hat out there. Toss your hat out on the ice right before the puck drops, right?
That's a riot.
Celebrate the hat
That's
trick.
That's hysterical.
There were 7 hats. D-Mac counted them all.
Wow.
There were 7 hats tossed on the ice out there in St. Louis.
Yeah.
How about that? Celebrate our guy. Celebrate what he was doing along what
oh
you're
my
saying.
God.
Right before the puck drops, toss your hat on the ice.
If they had to delay the game to pick up the hats for Kadri before.
Did you come up with that on your own? I'm calling for it right now.
Did you seriously come up with that on your own?
Yes, let's go. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome?
Tyler, some credit right
there.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, right now. I mean, I'm calling for it. Call to action. Call and response, right, D-Mac? I'm calling for it. You respond. Avalanche fans, toss your hat on the ice right before the puck
you
drops.
You know, it'd be great. Just, I mean, great idea by yourself. What if... You know what?
Why do you doubt me like that?
I don't doubt you. I'm giving you a lot of praise.
Did you thought of that? What?
Really, Groot? You're raining on your own parade?
I'm raining on you.
You can from up there. But this is what you could do. Because I was about to ask you guys, should Bednar start Kadri? Start that line?
Yes.
But see, this is where your hat idea would be unbelievable. If he does start the line, they only announce the starters for the game. And frankly, they've started all sorts of lines throughout the year. In hockey, you don't necessarily start your number one line. You can start whatever line for whatever reason you want. In general, they start McKinnon's line, but Kadri's line is the second line. Start Kadri's line, and when they make the announcement of the starters and they announce Kadri, throw your hat on the ice.
That would be amazing.
Dude.
Now you're relying a little bit on the coach making an adjustment and starting Kadri. I don't think you even have to have Kadri out there, though. Seriously.
At what point would you throw your hat on the ice, though?
Right before the puck drops. I mean, right as everybody's lining up, maybe not down to the second, but right before it's time, just toss your hat out there. Everybody's going to know what it's about, whether Kadri's out there or not.
Yeah, but with him at center ice, at the center position.
That would be amazing.
About to take an opening faceoff.
And the whole crowd throws hats onto the ice?
That would be unbelievable. That trumps my Kadri chance.
Why don't you call up your people, D-Mac? You got a lot of connections. You've been there for every game all season long. You got folks over there. Tell them to start Kadri tonight. Let's go.
I'm going to pass on that, but it's still a great idea. That is a hell of a... Boy, I could send a text.
Yeah. Let's get it going.
And what are they going to do? Kick you out? If 1,000 people do it, they're not going to throw 1,000 people out.
Oh, hell no. They're not going to kick anybody out. The Avalanche would celebrate it.
We'd have like a 10-minute standing ovation. It would be unbelievable. And
in general, you're not supposed to throw things on the ice is what I'm getting at. There would be no repercussions for this one.
We're not throwing a squid out there. You know, this is a hat.
It is funny. The Nashville throws a catfish on the ice before games.
Right.
They have a catfish. I don't get it either. But they've got a catfish cleanup crew. They're ready for that moment. That's a heck of an idea.
But I think Kadri needs...
That would be amazing.
He should feel celebrated tonight, and I'm sure he will. But I just think let's go above and beyond, over the top. And Tyler, your idea is the best one I've heard yet. The fact that David Perron is even playing in this game, by the way, guys...
Oh, right.
Ridiculous. ...is ridiculous. I mean, I'm shocked. I know the $5,000 fine was the max he could get under the CBA, but it wasn't Todd Bertuzzi, Steve Moore, but it was still defenseless. Kadri was... back turned to him.
Intent to injure. If that wasn't intent to injure, I don't know what it is.
And Buchnevich? I mean, that guy's a clown, too. Between Berube, Perron, and Buchnevich, you got three clowns on the Blues. All three who I would love to see the Avalanche embarrass tonight. What they did in Game 4 was ridiculous. And the fact that Perron is playing, again, really surprises me. You know, I've heard Zach mention, if Nathan MacKinnon gets hit like that, how many games is the guy suspended for? And Perron gets a $5,000 fine? That's it. You know, punishment doesn't fit the crime.
That is interesting. Do you think if that was anybody, like were the refs okay with it because they just expected something to happen to him?
It was a 2-minute minor.
If they treated it like any other penalty. MacKinnon, do you think that it would have been, would he been kicked out of the game?
That's a good question.
It feels like a game misconduct, and it feels like because Kadri was the target, not only was the in-game call not bad, but there were no repercussions with a suspension.
Right.
If Kadri cross-checked someone with his stick, back face, we're looking at a double-digit suspension.
No doubt about it.
Done for the rest of the postseason.
No doubt about it.
His last one was 8. So that's another interesting observation. Boo Perron tonight. Boo Buchnevich. But they'll be playing golf in 24 hours, so it's all good.
Throw your hat on the ice.
Let's go.
For Kadri.
Oh, my gosh. That would be...
It's an amazing idea.
That would be amazing. Folks, I hope you're listening. I hope you do it. Give me a moment. Just give me a moment. Let's do this.
I don't know. We probably should not advocate. We're not advocating throwing things on the ice, though. I know that's the tricky thing.
It's fine.
But the symbolism
isn't a dangerous object. Nobody's getting hit with anything.
I mean, it was funny in St. Louis. It was 7 hats. First of all, like, who are those people? But cool. But there were 7.
I'm absolutely advocating for it.
It's a hell of an idea, and it's going to be an awesome night. All right. Scrappy Will, appreciate it. Read all about it at denverfan.com. Football at 4 next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.